asked Brother Gary Petrillo, some of you know him, to share for a few moments tonight. He pastors in Rockaway, New York, and our paths crossed, I suppose, many years ago now here at camp, and more recent years again, and we've been privileged to share in ministry together and at his church and see what God is doing, and I know God has something for us to hear. So, Brother Gary, would you come? Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
We weren't invited to plunge in the lake today, but we can plunge in that fountain tonight. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God for that. Hallelujah. I need a revelation of Jesus in my life. I don't know him as well as maybe sometimes I think I do, or as much as maybe I want to. Certainly is not as much as I need to. To know him is to love him, we hear. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I struggle sometimes keeping his commandments. Do you? Don't raise your hand. Here at Pilgrim Camp many years ago, occasionally I struggled with obeying some rules. Brother Paul can probably testify to some of that. I grew out of a lot of that, thank God. But even this week, I was told I had to move my car. It was parked in the wrong spot. And I'm learning as I grow in the Lord that my need for him is greater and greater. You would think, and it's true for some, as they go to church more, they think they need Jesus less. I find that as I spend more time with him, I need him more. That without him, there's really nothing that I can do. And I struggle in my own strength trying to be obedient. And I have realized in more recent years that I will always struggle to be obedient in my own strength. But it's his strength and his life and his power inside of us that helps us to obey him, to please him. There's a book that I read last summer, which was entitled Being a Lifeboat Church in a Cruise Ship World. I bet on a cruise ship they have air conditioning, right? And basically the book spoke about how there are many churches trying to compete with what the world has to offer. And yet that was never the intention of Jesus, because what he has to offer is far greater than what this world has to offer. And how important it is for us as a church, as followers of Jesus, to be a lifeboat church, one that seeks to save those who are lost, who are drowning in sin and hopelessness. And sometimes when we think about a cruise ship world or some churches who've adopted the cruise ship mentality, we think of all the amenities and ministries they have to offer, and to us that's being a cruise ship world or cruise ship church. But even in smaller churches, even in more intimate churches, we can have a cruise ship mentality when we're thinking only about our own comforts and our own traditions and our own wants and our own desires, as opposed to being a lifeboat church that's really reaching out to the lost. And so tonight, if you would just turn with me for a few minutes to Luke chapter 7, I just want to read a few verses there. You know, we hear sometimes about what maybe young people call first world problems. Things that other people in other countries don't have to deal with because they simply don't have. And yet we often find ourselves complaining about things that we do have, the way they work or don't work. And I was talking to Pastor John this week about a great ministry called Convoy of Hope. And he was sharing with me all the good this ministry is doing to help to feed the hungry and to help those in impoverished countries throughout the world. Not just to really be a hand out, but a hand up. I think one of their sayings, Pastor John told me, is we don't mind feeding you and maybe your children, but we don't want to have to feed your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. And so they partner with communities, with churches, with people in helping them to be able to come out of poverty through learning skills. And I know many times people say, well, if there is a God, why are there so many hungry people in the world? And I believe it was with Caitlin, our oldest, I was sitting at the table and, you know, children like to eat oranges and they could be very messy. And here I was peeling these oranges and taking them apart for her and handing them to her. And I noticed there were so many seeds in that orange. And it dawned on me in that moment that every one of those seeds have the potential to be an orange tree. And every one of those seeds have the potential to be an orange tree that has hundreds of oranges, that has thousands of seeds. And so God's intention and God's plan and God's will is not for people to be hungry, but many times our eyes are on ourselves and we are not able to see those that are in need in our world today. And so hunger is not because of God, of course, it's because of greed. And we want to not only apply that feeding of the masses who are physically hungry, but there's a greater hunger than even the physical hunger. There's a hunger in the spirits and the souls of men and women throughout the world who, without Jesus, are hungry. And so I think of these first world problems, and I think about the trials you may face once a week, once a month, maybe once a year. And I think of those who are suffering in their trials throughout the world who maybe get some alleviation from their burden once a week, once a month, maybe once a year. And I ask the Lord, Lord, help me to be selfless, to stop thinking about me and myself and mine, but to get my eyes on you. You know, you can't really say you love Jesus and not love people. I think the two go hand in hand. And so Luke chapter 7, verse 39, I apologize, it's chapter 6, verse 39. And he also spoke a parable to them in chapter 6. A blind man cannot guide a blind man, can he? Will they not both fall into a pit? A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone after he has been fully trained will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor, on the other hand, a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. And the question I ask myself tonight is, what's filling my heart? What do I consider to be my treasure? Pastor Joe, I think it was you the other day that said you like to work on the grounds while listening to George Beverly Shea in the morning. I think you said sing along, actually. I think that song that he's most famous for is I'd Rather Have Jesus Than Anything. Than anything. Than anything. Christ and Christ alone. And tonight I need a revelation of who Jesus is. Because although I may think I know him and I may want to know him, and the truth is I need to know him. I must have him more in my life. I cannot produce the obedience or the love, joy, patience, peace, gentleness, self-control, all of the fruit of the Spirit without him. The other day, Brother Paul was playing before service the song His Way With Thee. And I love that song. I just want to read a couple of those verses for you tonight. Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? That's kind of a loaded question. I would, but I'm really struggling to do so. I'd like to, most of the time. Sometimes I don't even like to. Would you walk with him within the narrow road? Would you have him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let him have his way with thee. Would you have him make you free and follow at his call? Would you know the peace that comes by giving all? Would you have him save you so that you need never fall? Let him have his way with thee. Would you in his kingdom find a place of constant rest? Would you prove him true in providential test? Would you in his service labor always at your best? Let him have his way with thee. And then it seems the answer to all these questions is found really in the chorus, and especially this first phrase that I love. His power can make you what you ought to be. His power can make you what you ought to be. You know the rest. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. I imagine most of us have experienced that cleansing blood of Jesus in our lives. We're saved. We know him. His love can fill your soul, and you will see 'twas best for him to have his way with thee. And that first phrase has been on my heart really this whole week. His power can make you what you ought to be. So it's not in my striving. It's not in my trying. It's in what he has already done, his perfect work that has been accomplished on the cross. It's not in my willpower. It's in the power of his will in my life. It's not in my determination, but it's in the determination he had, the love he had, when he went to the cross for me. You know, many times I thought about the Spirit of God as coming in from the outside, kind of in, and Lord, I need you to break things down to come in to me. But really, when Jesus lives in your life, those walls that need to be broken down are not so that the Spirit can come in, it's so that the Spirit that's in you can come out and be expressed in your thinking, expressed in your language, expressed in your behavior, expressed in loving others that are around you, and being a lifeboat Christian, a lifeboat church. And I wonder if many times we're not living that life, if it's not because we haven't experienced that power. We've talked a lot about responding to God, I think, for the 5 or so days I've been here so far. And I know it's hot tonight, and we're probably, some of us, thinking, well, Lord, if there was a night to respond, tonight's not the night. Too hot. And yet, what we desperately need is a revelation of Jesus. The half has never yet been told. Tim, you recited that in your testimony a couple of days ago, and we just sang that. Pastor Joe, and you sang out in that. Wouldn't it be amazing to be a part of telling that other half? I know in heaven, you know, we think of that song, you know, the other half we're going to talk about, you know, in heaven. But think of what you have so far. Imagine that's just half. And imagine there's at least half more of what you've experienced. Don't you want to tell of that half? Maybe 51% at least? 55%? 75%? 95%? 100%? It's in the power of Jesus. And so the answer really is in seeking him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Man, has the Lord not been saying that to us over and over and over again all week long? Look to me. Look to me. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Oh, Jesus, help us to do that, even this night, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We don't need religion or church per se. We need you. We need you, Jesus. We must have you. There's no other way. Anything else, Lord, would be counterfeit. It would be fake. Lord, the truth is, we would be living we'd be living lives of hypocrisy if we didn't have you. We need you, Jesus. We need you and your power to make us what we ought to be. Oh, Lord, we ask for your help tonight. We ask for a hunger and a thirst. We ask for a stirring that would take place, one that may need to come by us stirring ourselves. But, Lord, we ask that there would be a stirring that would take place here even this night, Lord, that we would acknowledge you are the Alpha and you are the Omega. You're the one who is and was and is to come. Oh, the great I am, the great I am, the great I am. Oh, Lord, we need to touch you this night. We need to touch you, Jesus. We need to let you have your way in us, Lord. Your way in us, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, have your way. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you.
Do it, Lord God. Oh, God, we need you. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. Jesus, praise the Lord. Have your way, O God. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. This with all my heart I pray. I'll obey thee, come what may. Dear Lord, have thy way. Have thy way, Lord, have thy way. This with all
White Hymnals 125. Let's stand as we sing this.
Yeah.
Lord, like unto thee. Hallelujah. 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 Praise your name. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Jesus. Bless the Lord. You may be seated as you turn again to Revelation chapter 1.